Production. Recorded live.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Unzipping Reality, The Third Awakening. My name is Leah LaChapelle, and this is what I love doing, is having this conversation. We're all waking up, my friends, all over the planet. And we're doing our part by tuning in to programs such as this and doing as much unzipping of reality as is humanly possible. We're going for it. And today is the winter solstice. It is December the 21st, 2014. And this is a very special time of year. The winter solstice is a time for deep meditation and also for celebration. If you are tuned into this program, you know that the winter solstice is the longest day of darkness, and it's a time to bring the events of the prior year to completion. And it's a very important festival of the year because it marks the birth of the solar child. It's a time to release and a time to complete. And, you know, it's just this time of reflection. It's a very crucial point in our natural cycle of life. And here recently, I've noticed that there is so much in the commercials and in the promotions about this movie called Frozen. It's some sort of a Disney spectacle craze, and it's all about this prophecy that traps a kingdom in an eternal winter. And so we're not going to be talking about anything like an eternal winter, gloom and doom, anything like that, because this evening we have Gary Wimmer with us. And Gary Wimmer is someone that I trust. I trust Gary to bring in warmth and light and cheerfulness really to any situation. That's how I know Gary. And especially into this kind of dark time of the year. So we're going to rely on Gary this evening to affirm our faith and to bring us around so that we have a view into the spring and so that we really enjoy our winter. And let me tell you just a little bit about Gary Wimmer. Gary resides in Austin, Texas, and he is a psychic and intuitive. He's the author of two books, Lithomancy, The Psychic Art of Reading Stones, and A Second in Eternity. Both of those are available on Amazon and Kindle. And Gary is a multi-talented man. He is also a musician and an actor and a speaker, and he could probably do any number of things that I haven't even discovered yet. But before we bring Gary up, you know how we like to do this on Unzipping Reality. We just like to say a few things like, us love us. Us love us, everyone. This is the last time in 2014 I'll be saying us love us. And the next time I greet you, it will be in 2015. Reality is now sufficiently unzipped. We've been doing a lot of unzipping, so we have enough of it unzipped that we can actually go through the portal. We can see it. It's in view, and that's my invitation this evening. Let's step on through that portal and be who and what we really are. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And now, Gary Wimmer. Gary, it is just such a pleasure to have you on Unzipping Reality. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Leah. Great to be with you again.
Well, yeah, I think the last time you were on Unzipping Reality, it was in 2010.
I think you were the first radio show I did, as a matter of fact. So it's great anniversary.
That is amazing. Well, that is just so much fun. And, you know, this is a live call-in show, everybody. So I want to just give that number out right now, because when Gary gets going, you're going to want to call in and be recognized. The number to call is 724-444-7444. 724-444-7444. And the ID number is 128838. 128838 pound, and then press 1 if you would like to be recognized. So, all right, Gary, I have had an opportunity just recently to observe you and hear you give a reading, and I just want you to know it blessed the socks off of me. You were so much fun, so alive, so spot on. How do you do that?
Well, I just, I guess there's not a quick, simple answer to that other than I allow it to happen. And I learned that through, I guess, basically 40 years of being interested in psychic ability and doing readings. It's not something I learned overnight. More than anything, what I learned to do is read symbolism. And that's where I think most information comes from. Certainly psychics read symbolism. When they're reading your palm, they're not reading off a script. They're interpreting the lines in your hand. When someone reads astrology chart, they interpret the signs, where they land, what houses, and so forth. And when I interpret what I do with reading stones, as you know, I use 16 stones and drop them into a circle. When I'm doing them in person, someone drops them in the circle. When I do them over the phone, the person says drop, and I drop them. And I just read them from the center around like a clock. And I allow my intuition and my gut feeling to take over, you know, just to tell me. So it's less searching and struggling and more knowing that it's there and bringing it in. And, again, I learned a lot of that by learning how to read symbolism, which I learned a lot of during my second In Eternity, which you read. So,
my goodness. Well, let me ask you, you say that you utilize stones. So for our listeners, what kind of stones are you talking about? Are these special stones?
They could be special. They're special to me. They're certainly not expensive gems or diamonds. What I use is, I'll give you a quick explanation of lithomancy. This is very ancient system, not much written on it. And about 15 years ago, I was trying to figure out how other people did it. A lady taught me 20 years ago and couldn't find anything. That's why I wrote my book, Lithomancy, the Psychic Art of Reading Stones, because there was nothing written about it. I didn't intend to write a book. I wanted to go find out how other people did it. A lady taught me this in 1980, and when she first did a reading for me, it just fascinated me. And she taught me her system, and I started, adapting it to myself. The basic system involves 16 stones, 10 planet stones, and 6 personal stones. And the stones I use are about the size of, you know, from a nickel to a quarter. And they're colorful. You know, I don't want a bunch of bland marbles. They're different shapes, different colors. And they're not necessarily expensive gems. They're just cheap stones, agates and little pieces of turquoise and some obsidian, it looks like. When people drop them into the circle, or when I drop them for them, they form a pattern. And I read the pattern from the center, which is sort of core issues going on, up to 12 o'clock, which is the start of the first week, and then around like a clock with each segment of the pie, each 12th of the pie representing approximately a week. And I let my intuition tell me what the stones mean. I look at them, I feel them, I study them. It kind of feels like a blueprint to me because I've been used to reading them for a while. Just like if you're used to reading sheet music, you can look at sheet music and sort of know how the song goes.
Right, or maybe tarot or something like that.
Or a blueprint or anything, you know.
Sure.
It's a learning process. You know, people can learn just about anything they want to in life if they want to dedicate themselves to it. And so whatever, I wrote the book to teach other people, you know, my method and suggest that they constantly find their own adaptations and their own system, because everybody feels and sees and thinks a little differently, so everybody's going to have a slightly different system.
Right. Well, I'd like to know, Gary, this is, it's very cool what you do. Why aren't more people doing it? I mean, I'm really happy that you're distinguished in this stream, but why aren't more people picking up on this? Because I think that it is so accurate.
Well, I think most people don't know about it. When the lady did it for me in 1980, her name was Alice Worrell. She's since passed to the other side. But when she first did it to me, I'd never seen it before. I'd studied a lot of different psychic methods. But because it was unique, because it's time-based, and because when she did a reading for me and when I do readings for people, I don't ask any questions.
I noticed that.
I read the pattern, and there's so much information embedded within the pattern or within the one's ability to use to interpret symbolism, no matter how you want to look at it, whether it's the pattern, the symbolism it brings about, or the feelings it brings about because of the symbolism. The lady who taught me this method gave me a basic idea of it, and I kind of learned my own method. And the interesting thing is I tend to see things in terms of a story, a beginning, a middle, an end.
How nice.
And from the first time I tried this by myself about 1980 when I first learned, I noticed that. That's what I picked up, sort of a story. She didn't necessarily pick up a story. She would maybe say, well, the first week you're meeting a guy named Joe or James, you know, and the second week, blah, blah, blah. Well, I may not pick up the Joe or the James, but I'll pick up the trend of, okay, the first week you're learning to do this, and by making this connection, you're going to go into the second week with this power and blah, blah, blah. So everybody has their own unique psychic perspective, and what comes out of me is my unique perspective, and what comes out of someone else is their unique perspective. We can always learn more about how we see life, you know. No limit to how much.
Well, yeah. Oh, absolutely. We we do have some more unzipping to do, so I don't ever want to get smug about that. The universe is a very big place. I want to give out your website, Gary. It's Gary Wimmer, W-I-M-M-E-R, GaryWimmer.com. And you can go on there and find out about what's available for all of us. And, Gary, if somebody would like to give someone a gift of lithomancy, as you call it, the psychic art of reading stones, is that possible? Do you gift certificates or things like that?
Sure, people can contact me, email me, call me, whatever, and I can give a gift certificate and email it to someone or email it to them to sign and give to someone. One thing I wanted to mention, GaryWimmer.com, that's my home page. I'm also an actor and a writer and a musician. So if you end up on that page, click on the lower right picture. There's four kind of big pictures there. That takes you to my psychic link. So, or you can go to GaryWimmer.com/psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C. Or to confuse the issue a little further, you can go to lithomancy.com, 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 and you'll get
it. Oh, okay. That's wonderful that you got that domain. Wow, that's really, really wonderful. I want to give people an opportunity. I don't want to wait too long to give the gift of what you offer, Gary. Are you up for doing some just quickie kind of readings for people
who would
just love to know about maybe what's coming up over the next 3 months?
Sure, would love to. Can you hear me okay, Leah?
I can hear you well. How about you?
Good. I've got my phone on a rubber band on a mic stand, so I just want to make sure so I have my hand.
Well, we'll do whatever works.
Right.
All right. Well, with that, let's just go ahead and open up. And if you are in queue and you would like to speak with Gary, you just start speaking. We're live.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
This is Gail, and I'm so glad to see Gary on your show. And I've had a couple of readings from him before, and they're wonderful, so I'm up for a mini reading or just to say hi, whatever, if somebody else wants to go ahead of me. I don't know how many people you have online tonight, but
I think
here
we
I
have
am.
A number of people, but you know, Gail, you've got the floor, the receiver, you just go right ahead.
Well, okay. Hey Gail, how are you, girl?
I'm great. How are you?
Good to hear your chuckling happy voice there. I've given you a couple readings before, so you kind of know what I do, and what I'm doing right now is charging up these 16 stones because I put them in my hands. I had one person ask me once, do you have something electrical you put them in?
A tumbler?
No,
electrical charge in them.
Right, I rub them in my electrical hands. That seems to work. What I've done, Gail, is putting your energy into them, and anytime you want to say drop, that's all you have to say, and I'll tell you what I see for the next couple months, okay?
Okay. Drop.
Okay. Well, there are several things I think is going on with you right now. First of all, you're in a lucky, fortunate situation. Even though you are still kind of recouping from or re-healing from some things that didn't quite work the way you hoped or wanted, you've got the Sun Stone right at 12 o'clock, and that means a lot of decision, control. So that's what's sort of like an umbrella. That's what's supporting this whole reading. So even though there's some unresolved issues and some things coming to the surface to help you, like, replan and re-strategize, don't worry about what didn't happen or what has happened. Be inspired by right now. It's almost like you've made a pledge to yourself to be back in love with everything and to feel a fresh sense of commitment and purpose to everything. So don't talk yourself out of that. Let that come into play. Because over the next couple of days and week, you're going to feel yourself more and more not worrying about things and more centering on what you're going to bring into play here. And whether it's with commitments and plans or business, and I think it's a little bit of all that. I think it's a little bit about love, a little bit about relationships, about family, about business, and about plans. So because Pluto is right next to the Lux Stone, right near the center, and near also Venus and Neptune, it probably shows some things about relationships that have gone a little bit, maybe awkward, I guess, or whatever. But as you go through this first week with the feeling of love, you're going to find yourself recentering again quite effectively. And that's going to happen rather soon, too, as opposed to months away. It's just like a couple days away from you sort of closing the deal with yourself, that this is a new moment, a new start, a new day, and you can not only straighten a lot of these things out, but by the second into the third week, you really have a whole new fresh plan on your life. And it feels like this fresh year you're going to do things differently. You've come across a lot of fresh ideas, and even the ones that maybe didn't work out like they you wanted them before, they can be like updated and re-presented in some way. So you're after the first of the year, there's this unfolding of, you feel a lot of fresh change motivating you with both relationships and work and plans. And that's a good thing because right now you're just kind of moving into that space, moving away from the worry and allowing yourself to reinvest in the luck that you know you have and re-believe in it again. Because every time we go through when we go from one octave in life to another, we go through sort of a transition. We change keys, you know. So don't be worried about the cycle you've been through. Be encouraged about the cycle you're about to go through. Because that's going to help you a whole lot in the first of the year, just changing the way you look at things, see things very empowering and different. because there is a lot of change. It's helping you evolve, and it's helping you get a new, fresh sense of balance. And by the fourth and fifth week here, you're going to realize how much it affects your idea about relationships and how much you've, like, done a 180 and feel real empowered and feel very creative and inspired again. And I think that's going to teach you, by the seventh and eighth week here, not only your new plans grounded, but you'll be able to recognize how much you've learned about, and we continue to learn new things about love and people and direction in our lives, but you're realizing that you've learned it because of the disappointments and you having to sort of redefine yourself. And so that helps you a lot from the 9th to the 12th week with expanding ideas about your place or getting new ideas about your place, your environment, doing a lot of fresh communication, and it feels like it's like a promotion and contacting people and so forth. And from the 10th to the 12th week here, you will, again, and this is what I feel like a new octave, you're learning another layer of your creativity, because every time we go through a crisis, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Amen.
So we're toward the end of this cycle, this three-month cycle, you're going to be like very positively rewarded and inspired because you had to advance one more level in your life, in your thinking. And that opens the door for you to be able to do it in the future with less worry about things, about time, about getting older, about things slipping away, and helps you center more and more on this constant process of recreation. Because you kind of feel like you've done that a lot and you're kind of tired of it, and I'm saying, yeah, but every time you get better at it and you end up creating a better situation. Does that make sense to you, my dear?
It sure does. It was right on perfect. As usual, and gives me a whole lot of hope. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the next.
Good. Feel in love with everything. That's the first thing you do. Just feel in love with everything. And that's the fresh seeds. Love you, girl.
Love you, too.
Stay beautiful. Stay happy, Gail. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
And always a pleasure to be. A pleasure to know you. This is a great lady, by the way, folks.
Oh, listen, I know that, and she has just been the sweetest friend, not only to me, but also to Unzipping Reality, and I appreciate you, Gail, so much. She's a very gifted healer in her own right. So, isn't it fun to speak into the listening of someone who's, you know, mature? Who really gets it and who's hungry for more. I mean, it's a privilege.
Amen. We should be hungry for more knowledge and growth. You know, we spend too much time thinking about how to hit a home run in other fields like money and power. And we don't spend enough time thinking about how to increase our consciousness, our awareness. And that's
true enough. I love what you said about just feel in love with life.
Oh, amen.
And I can tell that about you, Gary. There's a spring in your step, and you're so open-hearted. I really think that humility is such a mark of someone who is truly evolving and has, you know, is open to their evolutionary path. It's humility. And so I'm just giving you a little compliment there. I appreciate you so much.
I've certainly had enough life challenges to tell me to be humble and listen, you know, so.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about, you know, when you were giving Gail that reading, and incidentally, I was just loving it. When you take your 16 stones and you put them in your hands, what would happen if you didn't intend for someone, like when you're in person, you have the stones and you hand the stones to them and they drop the stones into the little ring that you have. What if you on the phone didn't really infuse it with anything, didn't really have any intention, and you just dropped it?
I don't think I
do. You have any idea?
I don't think I can do that. I feel too much of an attachment to these 16 stones I have, they're one of the most, that and the computer, the most precious things I have in my life, because they got my, I love the stones and everything I've got's on my computer. And I don't think I could do this without a good intention. It's too valuable to me. It's too precious. I wouldn't do
that. Awesome. Awesome. That's that integrity that supports your efforts. And that's why it's so accurate, because it's from your heart.
I don't want to screw up a system that works, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let me just, I want to tell everybody in the listening audience that Gary Wimmer is my guest this evening, GaryWimmer.com or Lithomancy.com. And Gary is a psychic, and he psychically reads stones, and he has developed this as one of his arts. And Gary has been busy all day long over at Nature's Treasures, helping people and giving readings all day. And he made room for us to be able to hear him on Unzipping Reality this evening. And he had to climb in his car and race home through the Christmas traffic in order to make it just barely on time to be heard on this broadcast. So thank you very much, Gary, for making room for us.
And
really appreciate that.
I-35 made me room to haul butt.
Yeah, oh, good. Good.
Thank you, 35.
Good. Do you have any stories from today? Did anybody, did you touch anybody that just lit up in an unusual way, or maybe not today, but maybe recently, someone that just, it was just so electrifying that something you could share.
To detail, but I think a couple of the most rewarding things I've had lately is I did a reading for a lady 2 months ago, and her daughter had died in a car crash about 6 months ago, and so she was just kind of dealing with this. And doing the reading for her, it brought me to tears. I was starting to pick up her, and I was able to tell her daughter a lot about what was going on, and to quit feeling guilty, and that she's behind her, and why she left early, and why it's okay. And the girl had contacted me about a reading, and I could feel there was something pretty important I needed to get with her with, but she wouldn't get back again, and I'd contact her again, she wouldn't get. Finally, I said, look, I know you need a reading. You want something, and boy, did she. She was just... debating on, she didn't want to be freaked out. I didn't freak out. I put her a lot of peace, which made my day. Because, yeah, that was one of the best feelings I'd gotten in a while, just as far as really relief for someone who really had some difficult issues. I read for a lady recently who was up in a very, very difficult case. She's being tried for manslaughter. And,
goodness gracious.
I encouraged her to do the best she can with the to work on where she has power and not where she doesn't. To tone into a judge or a jury or a couple jurors, you know, tell them to feel empathy. You know, that does work. And she never quite thought of it that way, you know.
Oh, my.
I feel.
That's just glorious.
Every time I give a reading and I make someone feel good about things, it makes my day. Because, and I have been accused by people of saying, well, you're so positive. And I said, well, do I need to tell you that life's a challenge? Don't you know that yet? I don't want to bring out
newsflash.
I don't want to bring out everything that's working against you. There's plenty of stuff working against everybody. But let's look on what's working for you. Because that's what's going to
happen. Absolutely.
That will make what's working against you minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
When you really
indeed. Well, I want to make sure that other people have some time with you. Is there anyone else there on our phone lines that would like to have a little visit with Gary Wimmer? We'll stop talking here and invite you to just speak up.
Yeah, this is Wah.
Hi, Wah.
Hello.
Welcome, Wah.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm calling in. First of all, I want to thank Gary for the fine work that he does. He affects a lot of people's lives in very positive ways. And I'm also calling in to get a reading.
Well, okay, my man. I appreciate that. I love to make myself feel better and the world feel better. That's a win-win both ways. And so,
amen.
It's a pleasure.
Should we reveal that Wah is my prime?
No, is that correct? I don't know. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
All right.
Just in the other room.
Well, yeah, Wah and I are a couple for sure.
How long have y'all been a couple?
7 years.
We're married. We've been married 7.5 years.
All right. Well, 7's a magical number, so that's great. That's great. That's great. And Wah, I've been charging these stones up, and all
okay.
You have to do when it feels appropriate for you, man, is just say drop whenever it feels right for you.
Okay. Drop.
All right. Well, there's a lot of things right now that are being worked out between in commitments, some of it between y'all, and it feels like some of it between you and being able to work, move forward in business things, too. So you're interesting enough, the love stone came close to where it did with the last reader, with Gail. It's up by the top, and I'm going to say the same thing to you. There's a real feeling of love here and family. That's going to bring you a lot of fresh ideas and lucky ideas and know how to conquer the problems you're going through in the next couple weeks because you've it's like you've kind of already seen what the what door A gives and now it's ready to see what door B gives.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of going from the brake to the gas pedal or from neutral to you know, it's you're going to a higher gear, faster gear, moving forward. So in a way, process a lot of the things that seem to throw you off base, or throw wrenches in the bicycle, so you'll know where the wrenches are and you can pull them out of the spokes. That's what it feels like a lot. You're able to see what needs to be changed, see what needs to be rectified, and that's a lot better than not having a clue by a long shot. So as you go through this first week and you re-inspire yourself about love, relationships, and about how you've seen a bunch of things like changing and need to be changed and the luck of change, all three of those in the next couple weeks, because that's going to get you back on this path with plans around your place, around business things, and around decisions you need to make here. After the first of the year, it's going to line all that up because you're putting the feeling of love in here and because you're allowing yourself to, feel inspired and lucky. And it's almost like knowing that you'll have you'll win the 100-yard dash even though you're just now driving to the stadium to run it. It's a big feeling of confidence, and you get a feeling of confidence by sort of having to look at the things that knocked the wind out of you. Look where you've need to refresh in yourself in confidence. So as you do this in the next week or two with a feeling of love and with a feeling of almost like changing the rules for yourself, why not? You know, see more flexibility, see a lot more luck rather than difficulty, see the resolution and fresh direction rather than sort of being weighed down in some ways. So as you do that, you're really bringing yourself by the second and the third week into just a lot of fresh prosperity, optimism about everything. And then you start making fresh plans and being able to make these decisions that do actually, in a very practical sense, line up your life again, line up things about your place, things about whether it's business or plans or organization, all that sort of thing comes in from the third and fourth week here. And you find by the fifth and sixth week, you sort of carved out a fresh niche for yourself and for your lady and for your ideas about your home, your plans. It feels like a lot of things are changing. You're making changes around your place. By the seventh and eighth week here, you'll have this sense of things being really back in order and probably in a better way, a fresher way. And with renewed inspiration, looking forward, as opposed to trying to fix the past, which we never can do. It's already been done. It's history. And by the end of this three-month period, it feels like your ability to heal, to see problems, to bring resolution quickly is enhanced. That's why it's kind of, you have to go through that again in order to know how to do it quicker, better, more lasting, that sort of thing, and do it with fresh options, a new way. What this is leading to long-term is a sense of balance, both in relationship and plans, and in a balance within yourself to where you're, what's the word? You have a firmer spiritual connection without having to think of it in those terms. You have a more practical thing about management without having to worry about things. And you've got a sense of, imagination that's free again. Feels a lot less constraints, you know. Why not believe it's possible and then bring it into play? Does that make sense to you?
It does. It seems really spot on for the things I'm going through, and I reflect on that and I think about that, and I think that's very valuable to me. So I thank you for that.
Oh, you too, my man. I hope it makes sense to you.
It does. Thank you, Gary.
You too. God bless you, brother. You got a great
okay.
night, by the way.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Wah is so awesome. Oh my gosh. He's one of the most loving people I know, and he's so sweet to support Unzipping Reality consistently. So thank you, Gary. I loved being able to hear that. Gary, I want to ask you, you also incorporate cards in
uh-huh.
your reading, and you call that cartomancy. Can you speak on that just a little bit? How do you incorporate these playing cards?
Well, even the whole time I was talking to your hubby there, I was...
Wah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was looking at the stones I dropped, but I was also shuffling a deck of cards and looking at them, picking up,
really?
I guess, another angle at the same time. My style of reading cards is completely unorthodox. I don't follow a particular standard. I take a deck of cards in my hand and shuffle them and cut them and see how they land and look at three cards and five cards and cut the deck apart. The reason I do that is I really do believe in reading the signs. And even how
yeah.
cards land, where they cut, what they point to. If a card's lower, if I've got a question, I'll pull a card aside and see the card behind it. So I have a pretty, I guess, make it up as you go thing with cards, and I have a pretty set in stone method of reading stones. It kind of gives me the advantages of both extremes, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I use a combination of numerology and my interpretation of what the suits mean and how numbers line up together. It's I found writing the book on lithomancy fairly easy because I have a pretty set pattern there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to write a book on how to interpret cards because it'd be too confusing.
Exactly, yes.
There's not a standard to it other than just fluidness. Because even while
it's
I'm talking to you, I'm
intuition.
Still reading the cards,
mm-hmm.
and I see things in, while we're talking that seem to underscore what we're even talking about. That's how,
right.
how close and immediate I see symbolism. And I learned
mm.
that from my near-death experience in 1977 that I wrote the book about. I learned how symbolism...
Well, I was going to ask you about your book, A Second in Eternity. Could you just kind of open that up just a little bit for us?
Yeah, I'll explain a little bit about what it was about. It was, you know, Leah, you read it. It took place in 1977.
Actually, I did not read it. My friend Chris Shaw read it. I have not read it.
Oh, I
yeah.
should have your copy the other day.
I know. I need one because my friend Chris was recommending it to me.
I thought I gave you a copy years ago, but that will be covered later. And by the
all
way,
right.
if phone battery runs out, I'll call back in.
Oh, okay, not a problem.
So,
thanks
what
for the warning.
This was 1977, and I'm a musician. I've been a musician and a psychic my whole life. I'm an actor and a writer in the last 15 years, but most of my life I'm a psychic and a musician. And in 1977, I quit a band for a while and was living with two guys that I kind of knew fairly well. But the same day the band drove back from Lubbock to Austin here and let me off, that same night I started picking up things about people and situations and knowing what they would say before they'd say it. And I kind of blew it off, but the next day it came out again, and it was even more amplified. And by the third and fourth day, this had completely taken over. I was able to pick up everything about everybody, and I was with friends around me all the time. I was telling them who would come through the door next and at clubs, and I hear a car driving up, and I could imagine standing out on the curb and seeing the car, and I could describe the driver in the car before it got into view. And I was getting this 100% of the time perfectly accurate. And it was very easy. There was no guessing. It was just apparent. It was so apparent by the second day. I just I was wondering, what the hell is going on? Where did this come from? I know I'm kind of psychic, but this is ridiculous. I don't see an off switch. Well, this accelerated and accelerated and accelerated. It was freaking me out and a lot of my friends. And at times I was terrified, and at times I was so elated with what I was able to pick up. It's like, wow, this is heaven. So I went through a lot of emotional swings and a hell of a lot of questions during 8 days of this escalating phenomena. And basically, at the end of the 8 days, I was involved in a car wreck. I was hit head-on by a speeding car, and I was a pedestrian right on Guadalupe Street here.
What?
And I was launched out of my body and went through the tunnel of light that people describe. I was expanding in all directions like a balloon. It was the most beautiful, incredible feeling I've ever had in my life. I saw my body getting banged around by the car, but I was out of it, and it kind of looked, you know, almost comical from where I was at. Like, wow, that's the stuff that happens on Earth, and I'm way beyond that now. I expanded and expanded and expanded and felt like I expanded through the whole universe, and then realized that there's infinite universes, and then went through this tunnel of light that's been described by other people. It really feels, that's the best description there is, the tunnel of light, because I felt like I was being spun through this long cylinder of clouds going around me, really beautiful silver and white clouds, and feeling protected. And through all this, I was projected out of that tunnel of light into what I call the infinite mind. It's indescribable. It's so beautiful. So incredible. All possibilities differentiated and no differentiation. One group mind, consciousness, infinite love, and infinite possibilities all wound up together. And I was just fascinated at this. And it seemed to, for like billions and billions of years, go on and on and on. I was just overwhelmed because I was a part of it. I wasn't I was a part of it. And I could feel that there was no separation. But somewhere in this process, I realized I was observing it, or came to observe it rather than be at one with it, by merely thinking the concept of separateness. And that separated me from it, and I was pulled back through this tunnel of light and back through all these infinite universes and drawn into this particular one, not knowing where I'm headed or why. And the closer I got to this, into our solar system here, the more I felt like I've got a connection with some planet here. What the hell? You know, or I know someone here. Something's happened. I'm going back to somewhere. I'm going to somewhere. I had no idea what or where. I got closer and closer to Texas, and then right above Austin, and I saw my body, and I leaped back into it in the middle of the street, and mind blown. I've never been so elated. Life. Well, these people witnessing the accident were scared to death because I was just hit head on by a speeding car. And even though I was gone for a billion years, they only saw me going for a split second. And I jumped to my feet and started talking to people, and the car's all banged up, and it's freaked out a lot of people. There's cops and ambulance, and they had witness testimony and all this, and it was a big...
You stood up and started talking after having just been hit by a car?
I got a small scratch on my head, and they couldn't even keep me in the hospital because I wasn't hurt.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I swear to God, all the records are in the book. The actual records, the police records of them taking me to the hospital and releasing me. And so it was an incredible experience, and I didn't expect anybody to believe me. Hell, I could barely believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And had I not gone through it, I wouldn't have believed somebody else if they had told me the story. It's just hard to imagine that you can actually, people actually get the opportunity to go there and come back. And this
and
was
you, were psychically charged at this time, right?
Well, I was extremely psychically charged. I was so psychic for a solid week, and that helped me. That was the reason. I felt these guardian angels hovering over me. I call them the monitors, because that seemed to be what they were doing, was monitoring me. And I felt them several times. I heard them and saw them once, right before the accident. And they basically said, do you trust us? I said, absolutely, you know. Well,
wow.
Don't worry, buddy. They kind of said, you're about to go on a big trip. Great. Here we
go. Oh, goodness.
Next thing I know, long story short, I don't want to be a spoiler, but it's because it's an interesting story. It really takes the reader through what I went through. And you can check it out on Amazon and Kindle, The Second Eternity, and there's a lot of people give me reviews there. I haven't sold that many books, but... I've got, I don't know, 20 reviews, and they talk about how what a thrill ride it is. It's a fast-paced story.
Oh, my.
It moves
well,
quite
well. Again, my friend Chris Shaw has recommended the book to me, and I believe Chris is tuned in this evening, so I'm always happy to connect with Chris. I want to make sure that people have another opportunity to get a little smidge of time with you, Gary. Is there anyone in the phone queue who would like to begin speaking now and have a visit with Gary, get a reading? Just speak right up. Don't be bashful. This is a great opportunity.
So you have an open chat room. You don't use a switchboard and turn people
right
on?
Right. Right, people can just start talking.
I'll be honest, that's pretty interesting. Does it ever get to be a madhouse where everybody tries to talk? Impossible.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it can be.
Leah, this is Chris Shaw. I didn't know how to unmute. I just unmuted myself. I know
my darling Chris. Hi,
hi.
Welcome.
Yes, I've been listening the whole time, but I couldn't figure out how to get in to speak, so I signed up and blah, blah, blah. But I came on at the beginning. Anyway, yes, it was fascinating. I've recommended it to a lot of folks because it was entertaining as well as totally profound. And for those who would doubt the existence of this kind of universe of which he speaks, and the possibility of such experiences, he does bring it very, makes one know that it's real. So, yeah, it's a great book.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the only thing. When I came back to this planet, I have to admit, what I felt and experienced and saw out there was the only thing I really know is real. And Chris,
yes,
as you know, I wrote that in the book. I said, that's the only thing I really know is real. Everything else is... as they call it, Maya, illusion.
Yes.
It really is illusion. It's just, and the irony is, you know, with an infinite God that's infinite love, it can have infinite manifestations. There's absolutely no limit because really they're all just part of the infinite imagination. And we're all, you add all my lives and yours up and Chris's up, Leah and everybody else's, and we all end up together. What that is the infinite mind. We're just separated from it by choice. You know?
Yeah.
it's our experiment, right? I'd love a little reading if that's still happening.
Well, sure, Chris. Glad you enjoyed the book, my dear, really.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, I'm putting your energy into them. Let me get them kind of warm with you. But yeah, did you know I've done a recent version of the book. I corrected a couple typos. Did you have many typos in your version, Chris?
No, and I'm pretty picky. You know, I really noticed typos. No, I didn't come across any unless it was one, you know.
Yeah, there was a couple, but I've even talked to, I gave a copy to a guy the other day, or he got a copy off, Kindle, and he didn't notice a typo. And I know where they are, so I'm not going to point them out, but great that you didn't see them. They're hard to catch. They're real hard to catch.
Well,
so,
great,
you didn't see them? Great.
No.
Good. Yeah, I will vouch for Chris's intellect.
Oh,
I'll
tell you.
He's all there.
I read several times and realized I left out either a verb or an adverb or had a thought instead of through
Remember one or two of those, but you know, it was not overwhelming, just one or two. I usually will mark things like that, but I wasn't reading that with a marker this time. Most books I read with a marker, and I'll mark typos in case anybody asks me.
Well, I'll tell you, this time I read the thing to myself, every word, just to make sure I read it, to make sure I was saying what I wanted to say. But having said that, Chris, these stones are getting nice and warm, my dear.
Okay.
And all you have to do, whenever it feels right, is just say drop, okay?
Okay. Let me just breathe for a second here. Okay, drop, please.
Okay. Well, you've got a lot of great things coming into play as far as opportunity, fresh feeling about emotions. You've got the commitment stone right in the center, and that can be both work and commitment. There's a lot of change going on there, a lot of almost like reinvention. So as you move into this first week, you've kind of got Jupiter pointing the way for you. It's a lot of luck. It's a lot of expansion. And it's not random. It's almost like you having reprogrammed yourself to some degree, especially with things about love and emotions. So you're coming into this first week with a profound sense of optimism, or at least getting better and better about that. And that seems to be one of the things that's helping you look at commitments, work, opportunities in a different light. It's almost like you've given yourself fresh permission to be very happy and satisfied moving forward, and that seems to allow you to recreate a lot of fresh things in your life in a lot of areas. Is this making sense to you?
Yeah, sure. I do feel as though the healing work that I've been doing is getting ready to into something different.
Hmm? It is, and the one thing I think you've learned is with your own, love stone comes up again at the top here. A lot of people are dealing with love. Maybe it's the Christmas season. I think it brings it in.
Probably.
So we think about it more and feel it more. So you're reigniting a lot of optimism and passion back in your life and emotions, and that's going to help you with your business, and also it's going to help you recognize how much you've gained and adjusted and healed yourself and made progress. And when you do it on your own, life's experiences are a lot better than what we read in a book. I always say, read a book about sex or piano, but you hit the keys or see another naked body, and it's different than that book is, I'll tell you.
Right.
So
no doubt.
It feels like you've got this. You've carved yourself a new well-deserved, earned, and win-win degree of optimism. So it's not only for you. It's going to affect other people, too. So almost like congratulations. You put on your fresh New Year's hat about how you're going to come out of the gate with like reinventing yourself, more confidence,
yeah.
more ability, more, and you sort of bending the rules because the rules can be bent because, you know, maybe they can't be on driving which side of the road you drive, but they can be in how you see ability and intuitiveness and new methodology. Mm-hmm. So a lot of your commitment to grow and evolve involves this fresh look, this fresh change, and this fresh sense of, wow, there's a lot of different ways I can see you can see yourself in this coming year with your healing, with balance, relationships, and love. And it feels like this is coming into play, but the second week and so forth, are you, it feels like you're the first place you feel it is getting your environment to where it's, everything's back in place again, feeling real good for the holidays, that sort of thing. Whether you're visiting someone or getting things in place, it feels like that's the one of the first uses of your expansion here. You're feeling real alive and inspiration. And by the second and the third week here, like heading into the first of the year, you really do bring like a lot of this freshness that you've been feeling. It's almost like you're kind of sharpening the sword, honing
there
it.
I like that.
Yeah, perfecting it, honing in, making the like tough decisions on, okay, I'm going to work real hard on this, and this I'll work on later. I don't have to know this until I get to here. A lot of, like, fresh priorities, you know, fresh managing things and organization. And that comes sort of after you stretch the parameters real wide, then you can bring back into, okay, what's accessible now? What do I do now? What's the immediate? But that, after the first year, brings you not only a sense of balance and harmony, it allows you to make these decisions both around your environment and professionally that start bringing you in a lot of luck and a lot of recognition of what you've learned about healing. That adds to your style, to your ability, and so forth. So don't discount what you've had to learn even on the weighty side, the difficult side, the being limited side, the being frustrated side. Let that be part of how you help yourself and other people liberate from doubt, concern. Because that's sort of a, it feels like another angle of your work that you're getting perfected. You do have a lot of healing ability. And I always make the corny joke. I might have already made it twice tonight. I don't know. I forget. But there's only so many cheeseburgers we can eat, and only so fast we can drive. But growing, evolving, feeling new love, new power, there's no limit.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like you're not only getting confirmation about, you're getting a strategy about how to tune into that more effectively and bring it a more active part of your work, your life, and your own plans in your with your environment and with the future. Because by the eighth and ninth week, you're really moving big time toward a lot of long-term plans, big plans for the future. And why not? So you're going quite from a point of like readjusting from what you've been through and sort of turning yourself into love in the future rather than sort of how maybe you got the wind knocked out of you a little bit recently in some ways, but that helps you regather strength better. And as you go through this first week with this determination of expansion and seeing that it's the right time for you and the right everything set into play, there's a big arrow here in this that's pointing to Jupiter and love and stone. So there's a lot of when I see an arrow here, it's pointing to the tip. And that is you feeling good about healing, about love, about your life, and about just expansion. A lot of creativity, better cash flow, better visualization, more methods. And that's how the end of this three-month period you're going to recognize that you brought that to yourself, that you really, like, saw a little glimmer of gold and got your shovel and went and dug out a whole vein of gold. Why not?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you, my dear?
Well, it does because, as I said, I feel when this has happened a few more other times when suddenly the work I've been doing on the level of healing, suddenly I don't feel like doing it. You know, it's like, well, usually I'd be saying, hey, can I, you know, may I help you in this way? And it's like, no, I don't feel inspired to do it. So, what's wrong with this? Oh, I see. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm getting ready to shift into some new other expression of what I do or something like that.
We all too often forget that life is cycles.
Yeah.
Always going to be cycles. It always has been. And the real question is whether it's a downtrend or a flat trend or an ascending trend. As long as we're on ascending trend, by conscious decision that that's how we want to make our lives work. Ups and downs are still going to be there, but we get replenished quicker. We have more. We get meaning from the down cycles to make the up cycles even better, and not only for ourselves, for other people. Whereas if you're descending, no matter what happens, it's another piece of crap. You know? And that's not a good place to be. So,
right.
I hope that inspires you, Chris.
Well, yes, it does. And I love you mentioned Jupiter about three times. I love Jupiter. I actually have Gemini Jupiter in Gemini, and I've never quite figured that out. Actually, it should be pretty simple to figure out. But I have a Sag Moon, too. I love the idea of Jupiter expansion in
it
a
is.
Way. So,
It's the top stone next to the life stone and love stone and place. So Jupiter's right. It's kind of giving direction, impetus. Is that the right word? You know.
Yeah.
What I mean. And optimism. You know.
Yeah.
Can do, will do. Watch this, y'all.
Wow. Oh, I like that a lot. Thank you. I've taken notes, by the way.
Good.
Oh,
Chris, you know that I like Jupiter.
Yeah,
you know that I do.
Yes.
Wow, yes. Isn't that just fabulous?
Yeah, thank you so much.
You too, dear. Do you have any question about that or specific, or does that make sense to you? You know how to interpret it.
It makes sense, and after I, you know, oftentimes things don't really
register
have that much impact. This does already, but sometimes it's just like, oh, well, okay, and then later, like, oh, my gosh, of course, you know. It usually unfolds slowly for me, but this is pretty good already, and I'm sure it'll unfold and have some more profound hits for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of a fresh foundation for you that's very lucky. It almost looks like a chair or a table with legs, some of the way this pad looks. So it's pointing out like stability.
And yeah.
It's got three legs, too, which is the two legs don't make it stand up. Three do. Three is the minimum. And three is also a magical number.
Yeah.
Three. Manifestation. So that's what I feel like you're bringing into play.
Yeah. All right. That's great.
Marvelous. Marvelous. I love the part about the commitment. That's really ringing with me right now. Thank you so much, Chris.
Yeah.
And thank you, Gary.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you, Chris. Glad you liked the book, girl.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. And I'll go back to mute so other folks can have a chance to listen or get a reading. Okay.
Thank you so much. We do have... someone who is requested to be next, Gary. Can you fit in one more?
Sure, my dear.
Are you doing okay there?
Nope.
Are you holding up okay?
I haven't passed out yet.
Okay, wonderful. Well, another friend to Unzipping Reality, Gail Johnson, is on the line, and she would like a reading with you. Another Gail. Welcome, Gail.
Hi, Leah. Hi, Gary.
Hello. Is this the Gail that makes the jewelry?
It is indeed, my dear. How the hell are you?
Good. Long time no see, girl.
Well, Chris has been giving me the blow-by-blow of her synopsis of your book, and we both talked about coming to see you to have a reading. and I just listened to what you told her, and she and I are quite close, and it rang a bunch of bells for what I know of her life and what's going on. And I thought, I'm just going to call in, and we'll see how that flies.
All right. Well, I've found that usually when I give a reading, I kind of give a general idea of things, and then if someone mentions a specific, all of a sudden the stones take on meaning to adjust to that specific.
Well, and I
yeah,
did,
and also I just want to say that these are little mini readings. I want everyone to understand that Gary gives quite expansive readings and up to an hour, and you can see, you know, the various degrees on his website, GaryWimmer.com or Lithomancy.com. So
yes,
just want to make sure people know these are little mini touches tonight, and you can contact Gary and get a full reading. He's located here in Austin, Texas. Okay, take it away.
Okay, my dear Gail, I'm charging these stones up again. You still doing the jewelry?
I am. I'm in the thick of it. I am so blessed, Gary, to have had such a great fortune with a new client that just re-upped my contract for another 8 months, and I wasn't expecting it. I thought it was
Woo-hoo.
We were done, and then I was going to have to go look for work, and he decided to give me a whole bunch more work. So I'm thrilled, but I was also contemplating trying to sell my property and move away. So I wanted to throw that in the mix, that I'm thinking about listing my property and moving a little bit west, and just see if the stones resonate with that or if I should stay put.
Okay. You're talking about west still in Texas or California?
No, not Texas anymore. Either New Mexico, Colorado, or California.
Yeah, okay. That's what it kind of felt like.
Yeah.
So it's a big change. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, my dear. I'll tell you what I see. All you have to do, as you know, when it feels right, is just say drop one time real clearly.
Okay. Okay, Gary, drop.
Okay. Well, you know, you got the place stone is the highest stone. It's up by 2 o'clock, and it's pointing toward 11 o'clock. So I feel like this is something that you're thinking about and should be thinking about,
uh-huh.
but you not make the move instantly.
Okay.
It feels like something that you you kind of want to do a little planning on, a little more research and that sort of thing. But the fact that you're thinking about moving seems to bring you this sense of adventure in your life.
Yeah.
It feels like you've been, you feel like you've been kind of held in one place, one position, one line of work, which is, it's good for you, but it's like you want some fresh air. That's what it feels like.
There
fresh,
you go. Exactly.
Fresh change in your life. So, yeah, you keep thinking about it. It's a good plan. I don't think you come to terms with it exactly right immediately, but it does feel like the more you look into it, the more you feel a commitment to it, to changing. Now, when you make that move, and if you make that move, I feel like it's probably going to be after the first year and beyond. You don't feel it. You're not going to do it immediately, are you?
No. No, I'm thinking about listing my house in
March. Your house. Okay, that's what it was. I forgot what you said. Yeah. Well, that's what the play stone is. It's saying that you could only get good money for it. It would sell, and you'd feel. In other words, if you wanted to make the move, you can do it. And I think you're gathering information now.
I have been for quite some time. And
right.
I've decided that I missed the window to list my house this fall.
That's okay. Now, you're right
now
on.
Winter, things are cold. The leaves have fallen. I want the spring to spring and then put it on the market and to see how much money I can get for this place which that's will help determine what I where I'm going.
That's what I was feeling like. Not immediately, but do your homework. And then you mentioned spring. I was thinking 3 or 4 months from now when it's when everything's figured out, when everything's smooth.
Yeah.
So anyway, the fact that you're starting to think about selling your place and moving on seems to be something that's inspiring you. It's showing you that you don't have to stay like limited.
Yes.
Which you kind of feel now forever.
Right.
And you can carry your work with you. So
I absolutely can, baby. I can take it with me.
It's all set up should you decide to take the Pepsi Challenge. And how you decide that, when and how to take the Pepsi Challenge, is by keeping these dreams alive, by keeping feeling inspired about it. Because if you feel inspired about it and it feels real good and you keep running up against walls that say no, well, then you'll know not to do it. And if you feel inspired and everything keeps confirming it's a good thing, which was the confirmation you've been getting,
yes,
that allows you to go, you know what, this may be the time. This may be the move I should make. Because it feels like it's bringing a lot of luck and freshness and determination to you and a whole new fresh sense of new foundation.
Expansion.
Purposefulness, a new direction.
Yes, definitely a new direction.
Yeah, and it feels like you're ready for that. So even the planning of it is putting you in a space to feel refreshed. It's almost like you feel like you've already moved because you're kind of setting your mind to feeling fresh about that.
Yes.
In your immediate space right now is what I'm saying. It's healthy for you to think expansion because that
absolutely
puts you back to even dealing with what you're dealing with now with a renewed sense of zest rather than still held in check. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, you're right on the money.
Yeah, that's where the dream gives you good balance and strength here, even where you're at. Because after the first year and by the fourth and fifth week here, you're going to have this feeling of resolve and fearlessness come back in your life. And that's one thing, fearlessness, to where you know you can make things work. You've done it before. Your house is valuable. You've got good credentials. You've got good finances. You're feeling at peace. You're feeling ready to liberate yourself and make these changes. So, yeah, by the third and fourth and fifth week here is when this sort of culminates into you know what? Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be perfect. Because some of the doubts and fears you have now about change and about what where to be and about, you know, will you find good people there and all these sorts of things, you're going to move those fears out of the way because you know that you can meet people. You know that you're an attractive lady and you can meet people to date or whatever. And you know that you're creative and can make you should be talking yourself out of your doubts. Because
I'm working very hard on that, Gary. I really am. The problem that I have come up against is I don't know exactly how much money I'll be able to get for my property. Therefore, it's difficult to pin down. Looking on the internet, I've looked extensively in Southwest Colorado, which Chris knows all too well, as well as Western New Mexico, and then Central to Northern California. I have friends.
Well, that's why I say you can be a winner at any one of them. Yes, it is a matter of logistics, finances, and practical things, which you're going to, it's like the hopes and aspirations, the stretching, the expanding, the feeling good, the feeling lucky, the realizing you want to change, the fresh commitment to yourself as far as, by God, I know everything will work. That will give you and lead you toward the practical details about where and when and price and so forth. You don't have to decide that right now because you can't. But you'll be able to get closer and closer to that sometime after the first year. Have you had people come by and look at the value of your house? Because that feels like it's
I have.
Okay. Was it up to your expectations?
Actually, I thought it was ridiculously optimistic.
See, I don't think so either. I don't think it's optimistic. I think it's real. I think it's
well, that would be awesome. And I'll tell you just real briefly how committed I am to this. I want to move to the mountains, Gary. It doesn't matter which state. I just want to look out my door and see the mountains. And I bought a mountain dog. I have a brand new baby white Pyrenees, a Great Pyrenees. She needs cold weather. And so I'm planning on being out of here sometime by late spring at the latest.
Well, it feels like that. It feels like that. And I think after the first of the year, with the optimism you've got, after the first of the year, you're going to be able to look at things from a much more practical sense of view. But it's like, it's kind of like I use the example of playing a piano. You make a decision to play it, then you sit down and get your fingers to work. The decision doesn't make your fingers work.
Right, right.
You made the decision to expand, and now you're going to get your fingers to work and know how to play the music of your life. You're going to figure out how to make the decisions here and what on a practical sense. So even though if you don't know at all right now, it's fine, it's okay. You're considering these different options, and that's what you should do. But after the first of the year, it feels like not only are you you're able to think a lot broader even. You're able to look at...
Well, that's a good thing. Because I talked to Chris just this morning, and she said, now, Gail, you worked with the pendulum, and it told you it was time to go. The universe is telling you to move. And I said sarcastically, well, then the universe needs to tell me where to go.
No, I mean, bottom line, you have to make the decision, but you'll feel warmer and colder, like, you know, the game of hot and cold.
Yes.
You know, intuition's not going to say take the house on 4th Street, you know, not the third house, but the fifth one. It'll say go east. And when you
That's good enough. I just need to know which state. Which state? Is it going to be Colorado, New Mexico, or California? Because I've narrowed it down to that. I wanted to move
like
to
Colorado,
Uruguay.
New Mexico, I feel like Colorado and New Mexico are the best value for your dollar.
Mm-hmm.
As far as mountains, you can get a better view there for less money.
Way less tax money, yes.
Yeah. That's a practical concern. Yeah, it really is.
It definitely is. And something that, because I'll be turning 66 in June and intend to unbelievably apply for Social Security, I want to, you know, broaden. I'm already committed to... learning 3D animation to expand my design skills, because I'm not dead yet. I have a whole nother chapter to live, and I want it to be exciting and adventurous and, like you said, expanding. And so I'm lining up to do just that.
And I also feel like you're lining up for fresh love in your life, too, which would be a good thing for
you. That would always be nice. It's been a long dry spell.
I think that's coming into play, too, so you keep thinking that should be a part of your life, too. Why not?
Yeah, it should be. And
I'm seeing some really tall, good-looking guy that has a white Pyrenees dog.
That was one of the motivations, Leah. I thought I've got a
brand
new
dog. There you go. I get it. Gail, thank you so much for calling in. It's just wonderful to hear you, and thank you so much. I just really appreciate it, and thanks for saying good things about Gary Wimmer.
And let me know where you move, Gail, okay? Maybe I'll come up
here. And I will get in touch with you. I'll send you an email, and we'll continue this.
God bless you, girl.
Beautiful. That's wonderful.
Love you all.
Great to hear from you.
I love you, Gail. Thank you so much. Wow, Gary, you've got a lot of people that really appreciate your work this evening, and I'm one of them. We're heading in now into the closing moments of the show, and I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you. How easy is it to have a reading with you? Let's say, like, if they wanted an hour reading, it could be phone or in person here in Austin. What do they have to do?
Just contact me. I'll give you my phone number if people want it. It's on my website. It's 512-707-0836. That's 512-707-0836. You can go to my website, GaryWimmer.com. That's my homepage. Click on the psychic link or go to GaryWimmer.com/psychic, PSYCHIC. Or you can email me, GW@GaryWimmer.com, GW@GaryWimmer.com. Or you can find me through LITHOMANCY. lithomancy.com, lithomancy.com. So two websites, email, and a phone number. It's pretty easy. I'm pretty easy to work with. I'm just I am on the phone a lot, so if you call, leave a message. And sometimes I turn my phone off because for some reason, even though I'm on both federal and state do not call list, they love me. They call me about everything.
Of course.
Someone calls me about it, you know.
Oh, of course. Well, that sounds like it's pretty painless to track you down and just set an appointment, and you can do over the telephone or in person. So, wow, this has just been an outstanding hour and a half. I'm so grateful that you made room for us, Gary. I really appreciate
it.
Yeah, it has been fun, hasn't it? And here in just the closing moments, excuse me, I would just like to open it up to you because you are very positive. I know that the stones, I know that they reveal things to you, and you have this ability to uplift people and to affirm them. And it's not fiction. It's the real picture. Talk to us about, in about, you know, 1 or 2 minutes, what would you say as your Christmas message to the people on Earth here at the winter solstice that we're celebrating together this evening? What would be your encouragement for the people of Earth?
Well, a couple things to make it short and sweet. And I probably wouldn't have known this had I not had my near-death experience, but it is the truth. There is infinite love. There is a universal mind and a consciousness, a God, whatever you want to call it. It's so infinite and so powerful. Tune into it. Don't be afraid of having more power. And it's not selfish. It's more ability to be a better human being to make the world a better place. We spend too much time thinking about our limitations instead of how much we can expand. Number two, I want to kind of underscore that, you know, no matter what your situation is life is, and there's all kinds of them, we sometimes bring them to ourselves consciously, and sometimes we find ourselves in a, you know, how the hell did I get here? What's this?
Mm-hmm.
But in either case, we can look at the glass half full or half empty. I taught myself and suggest to other people to allow themselves to learn to no matter what happens, there's a positive side to it. The universe is not screwing with you. It's moving you to another level of consciousness, you know, and sometimes it's difficult. People lose legs. They lose people they love. They go through all sorts of difficulties in life. And yes, everything's easier said than done, but that doesn't mean it's not valuable. It's not real. So try to look at everything as enlightening you, as being something you needed to go know, and thank God for that because it's going to help me deal with things better. And the theme of Christmas really is love. It really is. That's what people who have near-death experiences all experience, infinite love. So feel it within yourself. Feel it within all the other people. Regardless of what happened yesterday, you can't change it. Don't torture yourself over it. Our power's in the moment. And in the future, the past is done. And that's why no matter what happens, if you look at it as enlightening, the next thing you'll see is confirmation of how it's enlightening. If you look at it like the universe is screwing with me and picking on me and I don't deserve this crap, the next thing you'll find is another load of crap on your head because that's what you're bringing to yourself. Thoughts matter. Intentions matter. Being in love with life, yourself, and other people matters. There is karma. It may not happen immediately. It may not happen in the same lifetime. But start building up your great karma by being in a loving spirit, a forgiving spirit, a moving forward spirit. No matter what happens to me, it's the universe and God making me wiser, not dumping on me. That's kind of crude and but truthful.
Yes, indeed. Gary, thank you so much. Thank you for being my special winter solstice guest this evening on Unzipping Reality. And everybody, make sure that you check out his two books, and you can find those on Amazon or Kindle. Just go to Gary's website, GaryWimmer.com. And that is a wrap for Unzipping Reality, The Third Awakening. I have enjoyed this so much. My name is Leah LaChapelle, and oneness happens. It's the great letting go with allowance and balance. So trust the process, know the process, be the process, and do the process as we unzip reality.